He says tomorrow, Springsteen.
Quiet, please.
Ladies and gentlemen,
you ready for the big show?
In exactly 15 seconds, we'll be on the air.
Lars. This is the Lars Larson Show.
President Trump is one badass president. He secured the border at the level we've never seen before.
Honestly provocative talk with Lars Larson.
For our country and for our children, the best is yet to come.
Broadcasting across the Pacific Northwest and covering Oregon, Washington, and Idaho on the Radio Northwest Network.
Lars.
And now.
He is an existential threat to democracy.
Here's your host.
Quiet, please.
Lars Larson.
Was Iran on the verge of getting a nuclear weapon?
No, they weren't, you know, 3 weeks ago when this started, and they weren't in June either. I mean, the Iranians have had a religious ruling, a fatwa, against actually developing a nuclear weapon since 2004.
That is Joe Kent, former Green Beret, and as of this week, the former director of the National Counterterrorism Center, who resigned his position working for President Trump this week, right ahead of an FBI investigation that is now underway into allegations that Joe Kent leaked classified information. Now, a lot of this takes some explanation. We talked about it a bit yesterday. I'll get into that. First, welcome to the Lars Larson Show. It's a pleasure to be with you, and I'm always glad to get to your phone calls and emails at 866-HEY-LARS. That's 866-439-5277. Send your emails to talk@LarsLarson.com. And if you want to vote in our X poll, we've made it on the same subject. Is Joe Kent, former director of the National Counterterrorism Center, now resigned from that job? Is he right that Iran is and was not a threat that justified military action? In other words, the actions that Donald Trump has carried out. Well, Joe Kent has changed his tune just a bit over the last 6 years or so. You might remember that he's been on this program literally dozens of times. And why would a single guy be on the program dozens of times? He's never actually been on as head of the National Counterterrorism Center, but he ran twice for the United States Congress. He ran as a Republican, even though there were people who accused him of being a Bernie bro, because at one point he was registered as a Democrat voter. But he says, no, that was just part of Operation Chaos. Just to give you a little background to what's going on. So, he's been on the show before. Has he been invited back since he announced that he was leaving the National Counterterrorism Post under Donald Trump? Yes, we've invited him back on. And has he come back on? No, he has not. He has gone on some other programs that may, in fact, be friendlier to his point of view that Donald Trump was nothing but a stooge for Israel, number one. Number two, that the attack on Iran was not justified. And here's where it gets really, really bizarre, as far as I'm concerned, about what Joe Kent believes. I mean, Joe Kent has impeccable credentials as a military man. I mean, 20 years as a Green Beret, half a dozen Bronze Stars, and justifiably so, a dozen deployments overseas. He's done all those things right. And as a candidate, I thought he was a solid candidate for the United States Congress. So, what does he say today, although we don't have the chance to ask him the question, how do we know that Iran is not trying to get a nuclear weapon? Now, I know as bizarre as this sounds, but what he said in that soundbite in which he was talking to Tucker Carlson, he said, we know that Iran is not trying to get a nuclear weapon because Iran says we have a religious fatwa against that. A fatwa is a religious decision by Muslims, and you can announce a fatwa. Sometimes it can be a decision to go and kill somebody. Sometimes it's a decision that sets some policy. In this case, Joe Kent says the policy is we have a fatwa against making nuclear weapons, so therefore you know we're not making nuclear weapons because we told you we're not making nuclear weapons. Of course, another part of Islam, and especially those hardcore Islamics like the ones that run Iran right now, is that you can lie to infidels all the time in order to gain an advantage. So I don't know why that doesn't factor in. Let me tell you a couple of other things that we've learned in the last 24 hours since we found out that Joe Kent had left his post as head of the National Counterterrorism Center. We found out that he had been cut out of a number of key intelligence briefings over the most recent months. And why? Why would he be cut out? Because they suspected that he was leaking information from those intelligence briefings. So, Did the vice president, the president, and other members of the Trump administration know information about Iran over the last several months that Joe Kent was not privy to? It appears they did. They knew things that Joe wasn't privy to. And why is that? Because Joe was suspected of leaking information from those briefings, so he was excluded from those briefings. And now we're told that the FBI has launched an investigation into Joe Kent, the man who just resigned, because they're concerned about whether or not there were leaks from those intelligence briefings. But I did promise to tell you about the change in Joe Kent's position. Let me take you back to January of 2020. Now, that is 6 years ago. In January of 2020, that was an election year. Donald Trump actually won that election, but, you know, they decided that, no, he didn't. We're going to give it to Joe Biden instead because of the cheating in November of 2020. This is January of 2020. Joe Kent posted, Donald Trump's red line is American loss of life and Iranian nuclear development. I personally think that we should have crushed their ballistic and nuclear capability, but Trump has a plan. He's definitely earned the confidence of any clear-eyed advisor or observer. That is what Joe Kent said January of 2020. 4 years later, September of 24, just months before Donald Trump would win a second term in office, Joe Kent posted, Trump used a balance of diplomacy, economic pressure, and targeted strikes to contain Iran, the embodiment of peace through strength. So apparently he was still in favor of doing that kind of thing in September of 24, October of 24. So right before the election in November, right after the terrorist attack on October 7th, he says, October 7th, this is Joe Kent again posting it, it happened because Biden and Harris gave Iran access to over $100 billion. Trump used diplomacy to build the Abraham Accords, cut off Iran's funding, and killed key terrorists. America and our allies were safe, and there was less war. No more neocons, no more appeasement, Trump 24. Now, that was Joe Kent just 6 years. Well, that was Joe Kent just 2 years ago. So what changed in the interim? That Joe Kent has now said that, number one, there was no threat to the United States, and that, number two, that the United States started the war against Iran due to pressure from Israel and its powerful American lobby. So, in other words, he's labeled his boss, Donald Trump, on the way out the door as just a stooge for Israel, who listens to Israel, who listens to the media, and who is not, in fact, doing the right things for Iran, because Joe Kent says Iran poses no imminent threat to the United States of America. We've talked about this so many times on this show. For 50 years, Iran has been a threat to America. It has taken our people hostage. It has murdered our military members. It has attacked our foreign military posts. It has been an actor in funding terrorism in various places all over the globe that puts America at risk. They are trying to develop nuclear weapons. But Joe Kent leaves the job saying, no, they're not trying to develop nuclear weapons. We know they're not because Iran says they're not doing it. And if you buy that, I'd love to ask Joe Kent about it himself. He's been out on this program any number of times. The only question now is Joe Kent willing to come back and take a few more questions? You've got the Lars Larson Show.
Missed the Lars Larson Show? Get the podcast right now at LarsLarson.com. Now, more with Lars Larson.
That makes a lot of sense. A lot of nonsense.
Right, you're bloody well right. You know he got a right to say.
This is the Northwest Nonsense.
How much longer do we have to sit for this nonsense?
That great moment every day where Lars brings you the cold, hard facts without any liberal wokeness from the Daily Dead fish wrapper or mainstream media bias.
Hey, have you ever wondered why America's political left wing is so ready to tear down the statues of actual heroes like President Abraham Lincoln? Consider the Cesar Chavez firestorm that's going on right now. A major investigation by write none other than the New York Times. Not that I necessarily trust the New York Times, but they came up with lots of personal testimony and documents that say the farm labor leader, Cesar Chavez, is guilty. Now, the guy's been dead for over a third of a century, so he doesn't have a chance to defend himself, and I don't know if he's defensible or not. He previously was revered by American progressives and lefties. Well, it turns out that the accusations say he was a child rapist and a serial abuser of young women. Proof of the charges is essentially impossible to obtain at this point. Chavez died, as I said, more than 30 years ago. Many of his victims are either very old or gone, and most of the incidents happened more than half a century ago. But in the meantime, liberal blue cities have put Cesar Chavez's name on a lot of stuff to honor him. You know, streets and schools and things like that. Portland has a major street named for the man who now appears to have been a pedophile. In a dark irony, North Portland has a K-8 school named after him. The political left, they pick some real perverts. Here in the Northwest, former Governor Neil Goldschmidt, unindicted child rapist, tiger suit member of Congress David Wu, teen boy chasing former Portland Mayor Sam Adams. At least the Blue City folks who are now scrubbing Chavez's name off have lots and lots of practice. Glad to get you your phone calls at 866-HEY-LARS. That's 866-439-5277. Send your emails to talk@LarsLarson.com. And by the way, naysayers always go to the head of the line. Our question of the day, brought to you today by Multnomah Medical Clinic. No pills, no shots, no surgery, and you get better fast at Multnomah Medical Clinic. Dan writes in, Lars, I know that you supported Joe Kent for Congress, and you had him on your show multiple times. Joe claimed that he was just a registered Democrat because he was doing that guerrilla tactic to get weak candidates on the Democrat ticket. It looks like he was and is a Democrat, writes Dan. Hopefully his fake GOP credentials will be revoked, and he will never run as a GOP anything anywhere. I wonder if it would be interesting to have him come on and explain his position of being against President Trump's neutralization kinetic strikes against Iran. He sounds very pro-Iran. I'm glad the voters of Washington rejected him, writes Dan. He seems like he would be another Massey or Murkowski Republican. Thanks for what you do, signed Dan. Well, Dan makes an interesting point, and you might remember that one of the criticisms of Joe Kent, and I took Kent at his word, because he said, yes, he was registered for a time as a Democrat in the state of Oregon. Well, if you're registered as a Democrat in the state of Oregon, it means you can vote for the Democrat candidates in the primary election. He said that what he was doing was along the lines of Rush Limbaugh's Operation Chaos. The way Operation Chaos was supposed to work, that Republicans in closed primary states like Oregon, where you to be able to vote in the primary for Democrats, you have to be a Democrat. For Republicans, you have to be a Republican. That Republicans would re-register as Democrats, vote for the weakest Democrat on the ballot, and then register back as a Republican for the general election, and then vote for the strongest Republican. He claimed that's what he was doing. There were people who didn't buy it. They called him a Bernie bro. I don't know the truth of that one, but we've invited Joe Kent back on. He was on so many times over the years. We'll see if he comes back. And now today's Daily Grill.
Insane.
Are you completely insane?
Ridiculous.
They get more and more ridiculous.
Flat out dumb.
You're even dumber than I thought.
Who deserves today's Lars Grill of the Day?
Maybe they're just really, really stupid.
Presented by Oregon City Garage Door.
Well, today I was kind of divided on whether or not to give it to the city of Portland or the city of Seattle. I was tempted to give it to the city of Seattle because they took up that ridiculous position. They said, we're going to put up signs on public property that is open to the public. So think about library parking lots or public school parking lots, things where you could drive up and park in the parking lot. They wanted to put up signs saying ICE is not welcome here. It's ridiculous. It's mostly symbolic. It's virtue signaling. They were doing that. But I thought I'd give today's Daily Grill instead to the city of Portlandia. You see, they've had this tax, the annual arts tax, that's been in place for about a dozen years. Now, I've never actually paid the arts tax. I moved out of Portland before they put the arts tax in place. But it was $35 a year, so it was a relatively small amount of money. It wasn't like paying your income taxes, federal or state, but it was still a, you know, it's an amount of money. And people said, what is this money for? Well, they did an audit of it recently, and they compared it to the audit that they did about 10 years ago. 10 years ago, they said, yes, the money is being pulled out of taxpayer pockets, $35 each for the arts tax. We're promising that we're going to hire arts teachers with it, but we can't actually tell you that we're actually doing those things. Well, the similar audit 10 years ago said, we're not even sure the money is going to what you've promised that it's going to go to, and they said you ought to fix that. Well, 10 years later, guess what? The newest audit by Simone Reed shows that the city is failing to manage the problem. It manages millions of dollars, and apparently they have absolutely no idea if the money is going to the places they promised it would go to. So daily grill for them. Today's best email, but you can always send more to talk@LarsLarson.com. Dick Bean writes in, Lars, the question you fail to ask is, why do you think Tina Kotek will not sign an executive order to improve fourth grade reading scores by implementing programs and requirements for the teachers? It's because the teachers and their powerful unions are against it. And Tina is not going to go against them in an election year. So the kids suffer and the Democrats don't care. Thanks, Dick Bean. Well, fact is, we discussed exactly that. I asked some of the experts that we had on, why would Tina Kotek ever do something that might anger her friends in the labor unions? Because the teachers union gives an amazing amount of money to both Democrats and specifically to Tina Kotek. Is Tina Kotek really going to change something in which union members get paid amazing amounts of money and then they fail to teach your kids and then she fails to actually demand that they do what they're being paid to do? Of course she's not going to do that. Tina Kotek wants to win re-election. But I think her chances this year are relatively small. You're listening to The Lars Larson Show.
The Lars Larson Show. Forever hold your peace. 866-HEY-LARS. That's 866-HEY-LARS. Now, back to the Lars Larson Show.
Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. It's a pleasure to be with you, and I'm glad to get to your phone calls and emails. Imagine this. Your family has been in the ranching business for many, many decades. You own a large amount of land. And, of course, on that land, you have places where the stock can get water, stock ponds or stock provisions for being able to supply water to the animals on your land. And then along comes the State Department of Ecology, to some extent backed up by the federal government, and says, you know, you're breaking the rules and you're doing it enough. We might have to fine you so much that you'll end up handing over your entire ranch. That is the situation, I believe, of Wade and Teresa King. John Stolmiller joins me now, who's executive director at the Washington State Water Resources Association. John, welcome back to the program. And would you mind telling my audience about the plight of Wade and Teresa King?
Yeah, thank you so much for the chance to be with you today, Lars. So really short story here. It's been a long time in running, but it's been, 4 years now, I think, total. And the Kings got notice from Ecology that they had done some activity which was a normal ag practice that the Natural Resource Conservation Service considers a natural practice, which is stock pond, digging out stock ponds. So Wade and Teresa got this notice, they got this fine, and actually when they found out the fine and the media coverage happened about the same time. So they got blasted in the media by Ecology saying these ranchers did these horrible things to the environment. And so Wade and Teresa have been fighting back on that since then. So the core of the issue is they have historic, we call them stock ponds, but really they're just, you dig a depression in the dry country. This is country of 3 to 5 inches of rainfall a year.
Yep.
Not downtown Seattle, right? So this is very light rainfall. And so obviously for cattle operations in particular, you need water, as you had mentioned. And so they did, there's a practice called dugouts. And so you dig a depression, water catches, maybe get some groundwater too, but it comes up, makes a pond for the cattle to drink out of. They've been doing this for literally, 50, 60, 70 years. And all of a sudden, when they did the clean out in 2022, ecology said, oh, this is a violation. These are wetlands, and they're a distinct wetland. And so that's where it sits, is ecology came after them, 270,000-ish fine, and criminal charges were potentially going to be brought into the mix, and that's what the Kings have been fighting back against.
Okay, and are the Kings literally at the point where if the fines were successful, the state or the federal government ends up owning their ranch? And they have quite a large ranch, don't they?
They do. They operate on, well, they got, it's smaller now because of the grazing lands of the Department of Natural Resources were yanked out from underneath them, the leases for that ground. But they have, I can't remember the acreage, but it's in the tens of thousands of acres that they run the cattle on. And so there's an estimate of repairing the ground, you know, for the taking it back to original condition or whatever, and it's very significant. Well, more.
It's millions of dollars, isn't it?
Correct. And so that's in the mix now, and so they're pushing back against that notion that, one, that their ground, these ponds do not meet the definition of a wetland in the first place. And so then the law has been inappropriately applied. But yes, so if it sticks and they don't get relief, they would be broke. Yes.
And by the way, when you said they got the DNR, the Department of Natural Resources lands yanked out from under them, was it because of these fines? And they actually...
Yes, absolutely. Directly from as the media campaign by Ecology and those fines, the Ecology put pressure on DNR and said you're gonna stop those leases to this perpetrator. And so in the end, ultimately, the department said, okay, we can't have this. So they basically complied with Ecology.
So they basically decided that Wade and Teresa King are guilty and they will be punished. And yet, has there really been any kind of formal finding? Have they had a chance to have their due process before the state imposes a punishment?
No. And it sits there. And they were judged pretty harshly in the court of public opinion, you know, with the articles that ran by the Department of Ecology. And that set the stage. It set everybody on edge. So if you read those articles, you'd say, boy, these are rotten ranchers. They need to be, you know, strung up because of what the awful things they did. But the facts never really backed it up. The Natural Resource Conservation Service, the federal agency, was even considering removing them from the farm program because of this. And they have since backed up. And if you've followed the media, the federal agencies are sort of backing, not sort of, they're backing the Kings and saying, let's get some due process into this mix.
Well, and not only that, but John, tell me if I'm wrong. If you go out in the eastern part of the state of Washington and it's dry out there and you create these stock ponds that are available for your livestock, they're also available to every bit of wildlife that's out there as well. So they have that side benefit that doesn't cost anything and it benefits the wildlife too, doesn't it?
Absolutely. You see animals as well as waterfowl enjoy these ponds, and there's no harm done to the environment because they're in a confined space. They're not, you know, it's not like they run the spoils from it runs down into a stream or whatever. These are perched areas, and they're but they provide wildlife benefit as well as stock benefit. Yes.
So what's the damage supposed to have been that the Kings engaged in that justifies this kind of action against them?
So that's the right question. The Department of Ecology is saying that they went in and they disturbed wetlands in doing their stock pond, in just cleaning out their stock. It's just cleaning out historic depressions that were stock ponds that they silt in over time, right? They get foliage and, you know, whatever.
Well, if they're full of water, they're going to get mud. They're going to get stuff, dropping off the sides of the bank, and it's going to fill it in. So if you don't dig it back out, the pond's going to eventually disappear, isn't it?
Absolutely. And so it's a standard practice. Like I say, the Department of Federal Natural Resource Conservation Service has a practice. It's actually an ag practice that is related to the stock ponds. And that's what the Kings were doing, that historic. This is what ranchers in the dry country do all the time.
How soon are we going to find out what the ultimate decision is going to be on the Kings? John.
Oh man, you know, it's what are we, 4 years-ish into into this so far, and no particular movement for the Kings. There is in the next short period of time, they're seeking to have a trial by jury rather than by a court of public opinion, frankly, right, or just the agency going after them. So there's some movement, there's some activity that Kings have been bringing legal action back with.
Well, let's hope that they get some action, and I'd love to see them show up in front of a jury in Eastern Washington and have them decide that decision. That is John Stuhlmiller, who is Executive Director of the Washington State Water Resources Association. Back in a moment. You're listening to the Lars Larson Show.
Have something to say but don't want to talk? Email Lars at talk@larslarson.com. Now, back to the Lars Larson Show.
Welcome back to the program. It's a pleasure to be with you on a Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Our poll on X today can be found at Lars Larson Show and at larslarson.com. Is Joe Kent right that Iran is and was not a threat that justified American military action? I would say no, I don't think he is right. But you can find the question at Lars Larson Show and at LarsLarson.com, and brought to you by Ultimate Truck Services. If you rely on trucks for business, Ultimate keeps your biggest assets on the road and running right. Find them at UltimateTruckService.com. Let me go first to, since we're talking about Joe Kent, let's go to Jim. Hey, Jim, welcome to the program on the Radio Northwest Network. What's on your mind?
I'm just really disappointed and agitated with Joe Kent. You know, he may not owe you anything, but he could at least extend the courtesy of coming on your show. I mean, you extended him the courtesy of letting him use your platform to get his message out when he was running for those seats in Washington. It's just mind-boggling and irritating that he claims to be a man, and he, you know, for his military service, I thank him for that.
Yep.
He was so brave to go into battle, but he's not brave enough to come on your show and answer a few questions.
I don't get it, because, Jim, I'm with you. I don't think he owes me anything. But I merely point out that when he was running, not once but twice for Congress, I said, I'm glad to have you on. I think you're a quality candidate. I endorsed his candidacy. He ran against Marie Perez twice. He lost twice, and that was a huge disappointment. And at the time, there were lots of brickbats that were being thrown at Joe Kent. There were people who said, well, he's a Bernie bro. And I bought his explanation that when he voted in Oregon, that he had registered as a Democrat for a time to vote for the weak candidate in the primary and then vote for the strong candidate in the general. Maybe I was wrong about that. But I would like to ask Joe Kent, you took the job working for a president. Now, I'm sure that when he was in the Green Berets, that when, you know, that there may have been times he was given an assignment and he disagreed with the assignment or the need for it or anything else, and yet he did the assignment. In this case, he took the job from Donald Trump. He goes to work for him. And then after he came under suspicion as a possible leaker of classified info, which I want to ask him about as well, and the FBI was investigating him, then he decides, I just can't take this war anymore. The war is not justified, and Donald Trump is just a stooge for Israel. I want him to explain that. Because it's one thing to just quit a job. It's another thing to, you know, basically, I guess as the military might say, crap in your mess kit on the way out the door. That's what he was doing. What justifies him doing that? Or was he just trying to take attention away from the fact that he's being investigated as a possible leaker of classified data?
And maybe this is a conspiracy theory thought, but maybe he looks at it this way. I couldn't win as a Republican, so maybe I'll just totally disrespect President Trump, turn my back on him, make a name for myself, and maybe he switches parties and runs as a Democrat and hope that gets him in that congressional seat.
I'm sure it's going to buy him some credibility with somebody, Jim, but it's very bizarre, this idea that he says, oh, Donald Trump isn't making his own decisions. I mean, that doesn't even fit with common sense. Think about it this way. If there were ever somebody that you would say, oh, he doesn't really make his own decisions, he just waits till somebody tells him what to do, Donald Trump would be the last person that I would list that way. There are plenty of other people. I think Tina Kotek, for example, does what the labor unions tell her what to do. I think that Bob Ferguson does what his party tells him what to do. I think there are plenty of people out there in politics who do what they're told to do. Donald Trump does not seem like one of them. He seems like the kind of guy who makes up his own decisions, whether he's right or wrong. He makes up his own decisions, and he doesn't just do what, as Kent has suggested, the media in Israel told him to do.
Exactly, yeah. Like you said, Donald Trump's not one that would you know, be like that. He makes his own decisions. He's not a, oh, what do you think I should do? He might ask for your opinion, but we all know that ultimately he's the one who's going to make the decision, and he's going to stand by it.
Yeah, and the thing I most want to know, I want to know, what would cause you to go out the door that way and basically condemn what the president said and say that Iran is not a danger? And when he explained that on Tucker Carlson's program, he was asked, how do you know they're not trying to get a nuclear weapon? And his explanation was, because Iran says they're not trying to get a nuclear weapon. So we have to take Iran's word for it that they're not pursuing a nuclear weapon? Taking Iran's word for anything seems like a bad idea to me. Let's go to George. Hey, George, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Hi there. William Shakespeare once said, the evil that men do live long after them, and the good is often interred with their bones. And it seems to me that's going to be the case with Cesar Chavez, which is a little disappointing to me because I grew up as a Latino male here in the United States, and there weren't that many Latino males who were held up as role models. They just didn't focus on them. But Cesar Chavez was held up as a role model. And I remember seeing videos saying how he was a very good family man, how he took a vow of poverty because he didn't want money to corrupt his family and his religious lifestyle. And it's very disappointing to see that somebody who was held up as a genuine role model is fallen so far from grace.
Well, let me ask you this, though, because, George, I'm not going to defend the guy because I never knew the guy, but he died over 30 years ago, and many of the things he is now being accused of doing were done to children, and if they're true, he was a first-class pedophile, terrible person.
Yeah.
But how do you know that they're true, you know, given that a lot of them are said to have happened 50 and 60 years ago, and the guy that allegedly did them has been dead for a third of a century? We'll never actually know, except it seems that all these cities are announcing, well, we're going to change the name of these schools and streets because the guy's a dirtbag. Well, how do you know? Well, because the New York Times says so.
Maybe they did know and they just weren't saying it because the lady who was his
Huerta?
Partner in forming the
Dolores
union.
Dolores Huerta, yeah.
Yeah. She said she didn't want to talk because she didn't want to destroy all the work that they had done together. So this lady obviously knew and held the secret for a long time, and I think there were probably others who also did know.
What's the point of bringing it out 30 years later? I just don't understand it. I'd like to understand better before we convict a dead man based on evidence from, well, just say so, from 50, 60 years ago. George, thanks very much. I appreciate the call.
The Lars Larson Show. FM News 101 KXL is Portland's number one source for news and information. KXL FM, Portland, Vancouver, Salem.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Just in, police in Barcelona have confirmed that a body found by divers is that of University of Alabama student James Gracie. Gracie, a 20-year-old from suburban Chicago, disappeared on Tuesday while on spring break. Near Israel's northern port city of Haifa, Air raid sirens sounded and lightning strikes were seen in the sky near an oil refinery. Earlier, an Iranian missile attack hit Israel's oil refineries in Haifa, but did not cause significant damage, according to Israel's energy ministry. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says in an address to his country,
"The death cult in Iran is trying to blackmail the world by closing a key international maritime route, the Straits of Hormuz. It won't work."
An awkward moment in the Oval Office today as Japan's prime minister met with President Trump. CBS's Linda Kenyon.
President Trump praised Japan as a great friend of the United States. When a member of the Japanese press asked him, "Why didn't you tell U.S. allies in Europe, Asia, and Japan about the war before attacking Iran?"
"We didn't tell anybody about it because we wanted surprise."
And then came this.
"Who knows better about surprise than Japan? Okay, why didn't you tell me about Pearl Harbor? Okay?"
Adding, due to the element of surprise, the U.S. knocked out more than 50% of Iran's military assets in the first 2 days of the war. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, the White House.
National Intelligence Director Tulsi Gabbard and other intel officials spent a second day on Capitol Hill facing more sharp questions on the Iran war. Democratic Congressman Jim Hines of Connecticut says in his opening remarks,
"Not one of your agencies has produced a single report saying that Iran posed an imminent threat to the United States."
Director Gabbard reiterated her earlier testimony that President Trump was responsible for determining whether Iran posed an imminent threat to the U.S. based on the intelligence community's assessments. FBI Director Kash Patel and Attorney General Pam Bondi are named in a lawsuit filed by two fired agents. Details from CBS's Sarah Lynch.
They have filed a lawsuit against the Justice Department and the FBI and its leaders, alleging they were wrongfully terminated merely because they worked on a case that is politically charged that the president does not like. Both of them allege that they have never had any problems. They were never accused of any misconduct. They had good ratings for the work that they did, but because of the nature of the case that they worked on, in the course of their duties as agents, they were summarily fired.
Stocks have closed down on Wall Street. The Dow has fallen 203 points, NASDAQ down 62. This is CBS News.
Join Adriana Diaz and Kelly O'Grady for the perfect start to your weekend. Ease into your Saturday with CBS Saturday Morning on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
You ready for the pitch, soul?
In exactly 15 seconds, we'll be on the air.
Lars. This is the Lars Larson Show.
President Trump is one badass president. He secured the border at a level we've never seen before.
Honestly provocative talk with Lars Larson.
For our country and for our children, the best is yet to come.
Broadcasting across the Pacific Northwest and covering Oregon, Washington, and Idaho on the Radio Northwest Network.
Lars.
And now,
he is an existential threat to democracy.
Here's your host.
Quiet, please.
Lars Larson.
Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. It doesn't make any sense to me that violent criminals, even after they are finally convicted of the crimes they committed, and that happens far too infrequently these days, but even after they are caught and indicted, after they are tried and convicted, the system seems to keep on coddling them. And a great example of that is Daniel Butts. Daniel Butts is the man who actually shot to death Ralph Painter, who was the police chief of the city of Rainier, small town in Oregon on the Columbia River. And then the guy who did it said, "Well, you know, they said he's got mental problems, so we're going to have to send him off to the loony bin." He goes there, and then after a time, they say, "No, he's better. We're going to have to put him in the Department of Corrections." Except for some reason, the system keeps on accommodating him. Now, Alan Painter joins me now, who's the brother of Police Chief Ralph Painter, who died almost 15 years ago. And now his killer is still being coddled while behind bars. Alan, welcome back to the program. And if I got any of that wrong, feel free to correct me.
No, Lars, you got all that right. Thanks for having me. No, you got all that correct. That's pretty much what's happened for the last 15 years. The state has seemed to cater and coddle Daniel Butts, and they continue to do that. He still is under the PSRB board. They're at, even though he's in prison, the PSRB board still has control over what happens within their departments of corrections.
And by the way, the PSRB is the Psychiatric Security Review Board. They're supposed to oversee people that end up going to the mental hospital, correct?
That is correct. That
so
is
why
correct.
Do they still have jurisdiction over him now that he's been transferred to the Department of Corrections to serve out the rest of his time?
In the plea that we, you know, that we accepted, we knew that was part of the condition of the plea. You just don't know to what extent that is going to be, because that's not all that's not explained to you. That was a part of the two-legged plea, was that the PSRB board would still have say in how he's cared for at the Department of Corrections in prison. They still have a say in that. The meeting yesterday was to find out if he still needs to be under them. And they took a pause. They took a time to decide that, and then they came back and said that in their mind, in their sight, they think he does.
So okay, do they make his life easier behind bars than he would be if he were any other criminal convicted of killing a man?
Well, he's not in the general population, which is where he's supposed to be until he has an issue where they think he needs more medication and needs to be under a psychologist or psychiatrist. He needs to be separated from the general population, which he has been quite a bit of the time he's been in prison. He spent more time there probably than he actually has in the general population, which was not how it was set up originally.
He was supposed to end up going, once he was better psychologically, to be able to go from the mental hospital to the prison. He was supposed to go to the general population. And again, I know that being in the general population, if you're an unpopular person, you're probably going to feel it. And that's just part of going to prison, isn't it?
Oh, but Lars, that's not what was said yesterday. His psychiatrist said that in her department, which when he's separated from the general population, that he is well loved and they all like him there, which I could hear my sister-in-law on the other, even though we were all, our mics were all quiet, I could almost hear her gasp on the other end of the line.
So we're not talking about his fellow inmates. We're talking about the staff thinks he's a great guy.
The staff, they just think he's great and they love him. And he's so cordial. And he just gets along with everybody. And they just take that into consideration.
I don't think that has anything to do with it, because the fact is that behind bars, he may be a total prince behind bars. It isn't his behavior behind bars that put him behind bars. It's his behavior when he wasn't under control.
That is correct. In fact, talked to Rosemary yesterday a little bit. In her book on page 105, he had a conversation with his dad before all this happened with Ralph. In 2010, his dad told him that he was going to inherit the farm. And Daniel says, well, then, if I'm going to inherit it, why don't I just kill you now? That was before he went on to murder a police chief. So that's a mindset of a murderer.
He said that to his father. He said, if I'm going to get
the farm. Father, and his father quickly changed the will after that.
No
so,
doubt.
Yeah, he said that to his dad. That's in Rosemary's book.
That's Rosemary Reynolds, one of my former coworkers, who wrote an entire book about the murder of Chief Ralph Painter. I'm talking to Alan Painter, his brother. So where does this case go at this point? And at what point does Daniel Butts find himself where he ought to be in the general population with all the other convicted criminals?
Well, that's what the PSRB board still has to say. If they don't think it's safe for him to be in the general population, they can stipulate to the Department of Corrections that they don't think he's safe out there and that he should stay in the psych ward of the prison. So
he could end up staying in the psych ward of the prison indefinitely.
Indefinitely, upon their say. The Department of Corrections does have a say in the matter. In fact, I really thought yesterday that they were leaning towards telling the PSRB board that they really didn't think that he needed to be under them, but that's not how things panned out.
Well, and Alan, I got to tell you something. Both in Oregon and Washington, the Department of Corrections are so disappointing, because they're the people who won't call somebody an inmate or a convict. You're an adult in custody. And they talk about people like they're clients like you're the client of a lawyer or the client of a doctor, and they talk about their clients, and they'll send us little emails about how somebody has passed away in custody and how sorry they are that the person has passed away, and they mention everything about the person except the thing they did that got them sent to prison. They won't tell the public that. And this is the attitude they have toward criminals.
That is exactly right. That's what we picked up yesterday, Lars, from your meeting. That's exactly what we picked up. They seem to have established a really almost like a normal relationship with you as you would with somebody on the outside. You know, like they're just a normal person. They're a nice person. Everybody seems to love them. You know, that's just kind of that's the way they came across, the way they came off yesterday.
Unbelievable. Alan, thank you very much. That is Alan Painter. Alan's brother was Police Chief Ralph Painter, who was murdered all those years ago. Ralph Painter was the police chief in Rainier. He went to an ordinary disturbance during the day. This is in broad daylight. Showed up at a car stereo shop, and there was a guy there by the name of Daniel Butts. And Butts managed to knock the chief down, take his gun, and then murder him in cold blood. Except the system these days seems to feel sorrier for the people who are involved in crimes than the victims of crimes. So he spent a lot of time in the mental hospital, and now he's in the prison, but he's still separated from the general population. You're listening to the Lawrence Larson Show. Hey there.
On the go? Can't listen to Lars live? No problem. Get the podcast 24/7 at LarsLarson.com. Now, more with Lars Larson.
Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. In a moment, I want to get to a story about Washington State, which appears to have, in the words of the Wall Street Journal, jumped off the ledge of a very tall building with its brand new income tax for millionaires. And now the millionaires are fleeing left and right. Let me get to that in just a moment. First, welcome to the Lars Larson Show. It's a pleasure to be with you, and I'm glad to get to your phone calls and emails. If you want to join the best conversation in talk journalism, it's here every day at 866-HEY-LARS. That's 866-439-5277. Send your emails to talk at LarsLarson.com. Harlan is on the line. Hey, Harlan, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Oh, thank you for letting me be on your show.
Sure.
Your question, you left off an important part. You should be including the Americans that are overseas, because that was in Trump's original statement about why he attacked Iran.
Well, I understand the point, but doesn't it, let me read the question, and you tell me if it encapsulates that. Is Joe Kent right that Iran is and was not a threat that justified military action? So in other words, whether Iran is a threat to the continental United States or Iran is a threat to U.S. military bases or personnel overseas, they either were a threat that justified military action or they were not a threat that justified military action, without specifically mentioning whether it's a threat against the American homeland or a threat against our military assets overseas. I tried to encompass all of them in that one question. Did it not do that?
Oh, well, I think you did. It just maybe just wasn't quite clear, because the people from Chicken Noodle News will always drop that off.
Well, and you know, the other thing that people have asked about, Harlan, Joe Kent had used the word imminent in when he said Iran is not an imminent threat. And the way I encompassed that was, if something is an imminent threat, then it justifies military action. If it is not an imminent threat, then it doesn't justify military action. And that's why I said, is Joe Kent right that Iran is and was not a threat that justified military action? Because I wanted to get both of those in there. Are they currently a threat? Joe Kent says no. Were they a threat 3 weeks ago when the United States began its action against Iran? Joe Kent says no. Now, those are the questions I'd most like to ask Joe Kent about, except we don't know if he'll ever come on the show. I mean, we have asked him when the news broke that he was leaving his job as the head of the counterterrorism center for Donald Trump, working for President Trump. We immediately put out a request. I sent him a text message. I called his cell phone. We have not heard one word back from Joe Kent. And I'll tell you that when he was running for the United States Congress, he was happy to reach out to us all the time and say, can I get on the radio show and talk about my candidacy for the United States Congress? So he was happy to ask for time on the radio show when he wanted to be on the show. Now that we're asking some uncomfortable questions, number one, were you the leaker that was leaking classified information? If you were not, why is the FBI investigating you as the potential leaker of classified info? When you said that Iran is not a threat to the United States of America, what he's told Tucker Carlson on air in the last 24 hours is we should believe that Iran is not currently an imminent threat to the United States with a nuclear weapon because Iran says they're not a threat. Well, excuse me, but I'm not going to take the word of the folks who are supposed to be the threat about whether or not they are the threat or not. That doesn't seem very sensible to me. Anyway, Harlan, thanks for the call. If you want to jump into the best conversation in talk journalism, you're always welcome. And naysayers go to the head of the line at 866-HEY-LARS. That's 866-439-5277. Send your emails to talk@LarsLarson.com. I wanted to talk about that. I do have a dog in the fight on this one because I live in Washington State and I do make an income. Obviously I can pay the bills. But now the state of Washington has become one of the states that has gone from a zero income tax state. There are only 9 of those in the United States. They are now going to become an income tax state, but only for millionaires, at least only for millionaires for starters. And what have they done? Well, as our friend, the economist Steve Moore puts it at Unleash Prosperity, this is a sad, sad story. Washington State died this week economically. It will be a sure but slow death. And this is Steve Moore writing. As we mentioned last week, every one of the last 11 states that have adopted an income tax has lost ground economically. Ironically, the same progressives who lecture us to follow the science ignore the science on the perils of adopting an income tax. So what do they write? A secret to the Evergreen State's success has been that there is no income tax, but Democrats in Olympia are perilously close to enacting a millionaire tax of 9.9%. So they say they promise that it's only going to apply to people who make more than $1 million every year. However, we've pointed out that as those millionaires decide to leave, and that is avoid that tax, I know that they're going to reduce those numbers and they're going to tax people below the millionaire level. The decision, writes Steve Moore, to enact an income tax bodes ill for Washington's economic future. He says, when you look at the states that have adopted an income tax, together they account for slightly more than 1/5 of the national output. Where were they when they didn't have an income tax in 1970? They were 1/3 of the country's output. So they were a much bigger piece of what America produced before they adopted the income tax. And what happened? Michigan adopted an income tax in 1967. Its share of total state and local tax revenue nationwide has fallen by 53%. Pennsylvania's share of national output declined by 42% since its income tax went in 1971. West Virginia has lagged national population growth by 56% since they adopted an income tax in 1971. So every one of those states that signed an income tax into effect absolutely was signing its own economic death warrant. That is the math behind it. As Steve Moore points out, that is the science. So if you're a Democrat liberal who says follow the science says when Washington State decided to adopt an income tax for millionaires or anyone else, it's going to be the economic downfall of the entire state. Glad to get your calls at 866-HEY-LARS. Send emails to talk@LarsLarson.com. And you're listening to the Radio Northwest Network.
The Lars Larson Show.
professional? Lars has you covered. Call him from anywhere. 866-HEY-LARS. Now, back to the Lars Larson Show.
Welcome back to the program. It's a pleasure to be with you, and I'm glad to get to your phone calls and emails. Imagine this. A state audit finds evidence that California schools are now issuing diplomas to foreign students in China. In other words, kids who've never set foot in California. I thought I'd get the full story on that from Sonia Shaw. Sonia is running for the California superintendent position in 2026. Ms. Shaw, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Can you even make this understandable to my audience? How does a kid who's sitting on the other side of the world in China ends up with a diploma from a California school they've never set foot in? Or have I exaggerated this whole thing?
Actually, I think you've hit it right on the head. I mean, this is Newsom's California, and I was blown away just like you and many that are finding out that this is, you know, the true story that Gavin Newsom literally is allowing this on his watch. You see that these California high school diplomas, if we want to put it in layman terms and just regular day-to-day language, they were being sold to the Chinese, working hand in hand, and then allowing these students to come in and have priority into our colleges. I mean, that's really what it is.
And that was really the purpose of getting a California graduation certificate, because it would say, well, if you've got one of these, then that's going to give you an edge getting into a public university, meaning a taxpayer-funded university in California. Is that the way it works?
Yeah, you do. And it gives you a lot more opportunities, like you just said. I'll go back to, I guess someone was sounding the alarm, I'm finding out, from, you know, previous even to 2019. And this is how much fraud and corruption is here. The district had an audit done and no findings were done, but someone kept pressing. I don't know who that person is. I give credit to anybody who was trying to expose the fraud. I mean, God bless their heart. And we're talking about 2026 now, right? The
yep.
audit was just released in February, and the school board, it appears that they're still trying to cover up for whoever was involved, because on their own agenda, where one of the requirements is that they have to present this in the public, I went back and I looked at their agenda and it just says presentation. It doesn't give a description on why. So it doesn't even allow the public to understand what was going on, right? They
yep.
have the meeting, all that's clear and done. And I have a whistleblower from the inside coming to me and saying, Sonia, can you get this exposed? They're trying to dust it under again. So that way they don't have to hold these people accountable for doing these heinous acts that are harming our kids. I mean, I am so, this is why I fight the good fight. $130 billion spent on education. Only 47% of our kids can read, write, and do math. And then we have this happening. Students that don't even belong, you know, that are not even here, not even our own California students are getting priority over, you know, our own students. The Chinese students are giving priority over our own students.
I'm talking to Sonia Shaw. Sonia, by the way, I'd be remiss if I didn't give people an opportunity to find your website and the campaign, because you're running for California school superintendent, presumably under the banner of I'm going to fix all of this if I get the chance, right?
Absolutely. My website is Shaw, S-H-A-W, 4-F-O-R-C-A.com. And you're absolutely right. I am running so we can fix this, you know, from the top down, because right now we have so much of us screaming at the bottom, but they're able to utilize and weaponize the system that they created to just dust things under when they do things that are harming our own families here in California.
Well, I realize that Bonta, that's your attorney general, right? But that guy spends all of his time attacking Donald Trump. But if he has a little extra time, isn't it criminal if the California school system is handing out diplomas to kids who've never set foot in a California school? And as I have to assume, somebody's getting paid. Somebody's pocket is getting filled. Somebody's palm is getting greased. Am I right?
Yeah, because we heard that these students were paying up to $30,000, you know, for tuition. So this wasn't free. But again, I love how you said Bonta is over there attacking Trump all the time. But in our California reality, he's attacking parents and school board members trying to sound the alarm and hold people that should be, you know, criminally prosecuted for what they're doing. I mean, he sued us. He sued our school district when we said parents have a right to know of their own child's upbringing. He's utilizing and weaponizing the system again against those of us that are actually trying to get in here and do the right thing, right? I'm not surprised that he hasn't done anything with this. I think where we have an opportunity is local. I made a few phone calls, you know, to the DA's office and then to the sheriff, Bianco, of that county, right? And yep. So people are now aware of this, and I am hoping with the pressure of everybody else that these people are going to be held responsible. I am all about accountability, and these people need to be held accountable for this criminal act. This is taking away from our students here in California. This is taking away, you know, from the taxpayer dollars that we're spending to hopefully, you know, help California, and it's giving it to people in other nations. I mean, this is crazy to me, right?
Foreign nationals getting a leg up in getting into California state institutions with a diploma from a school they've never set foot in. That is so crazy. Yes.
Wealthy Chinese families buying spots. That's what it really is, right? Buying spots at our top U.S. universities that our kids are doing everything they can. Our families here in California are doing everything they can to provide these opportunities for their students. And we have wealthy Chinese prioritized over our own American students.
Now, if Val Verde Unified Schools, that's the one out in Riverside County, if they were the ones who are handing out these diplomas, is it possible to bring charges against somebody?
Well, I mean, the findings they allege everything, right? Because you can't do anything until finally the DA prayfully takes this and, you know, prosecutes them. But it is said in here, it's holding the superintendent, you know, it's saying that him, Long, McCormick, actually even the previous state superintendent is named inside these findings too. And they breached their, you know, fiduciary duties. I mean, it's saying that in here. So McCormick was the old superintendent, and I looked him up, and he's still somewhat involved in education and throughout things, but he quietly went away, hoping this would just go away, right?
Maybe he's just enjoying his CalPERS pension, and he's sitting back and taking it easy. I don't know, because when people do this kind of thing, I mean, you end up selling a document to a Chinese national who has no business getting it, and give them an edge over American kids in getting into into California schools. It's outrageous.
Yeah, no, it is outrageous, and I think that we need to press to hold these people accountable again. I mean, it did say Val Verde Unified was not permitted to issue these diplomas to the Pegasus students. Those are the students in China, and to issue these diplomas. I mean, that right there, I go back to even looking at resolutions that were made by the board.
It's got to stop. That is Sonia Shaw. She's running for California School Superintendent this year. You're listening to the Lars Larson Show and the Radio Northwest Network. Beaverton Motorcycle.
Follow the Lars Larson Show on X at Lars Larson Show. You never know what he'll post. Now, back to the Lars Larson Show.
Welcome back to the program. It's a pleasure to be with you on a Conspiracy Theory Thursday. You're going to want to hear this Donald Trump soundbite in just a second. But first, let me tell you that this segment of the show is brought to you by Landlord Exit. Hey, it's Lars. You ready to be done being a landlord? My Rocket Listing lets you sell your property guaranteed. Go to nickshivers.com. That's nickshivers.com. Now, before I get to your phone calls, and those are certainly welcome, I got to play this soundbite. It happened only a couple of hours ago. The President of the United States, Donald Trump, the man I voted for three different times, is sitting in his office, in the Oval Office, and he's got the Japanese Prime Minister, a nice young lady, who's sitting there with him. And he's being asked by reporters, why is it that you didn't let Japan know ahead of time before you carried out the attack in Iran? And Donald Trump said something that I didn't think I'd ever hear come out of the mouth of an American president. Take a listen to the exchange.
One question. Why didn't you tell U.S. allies in Europe and Asia, like Japan, about the war before attacking Iran. So we are very confused about the Japanese system.
Well, one thing, you don't want to signal too much. You know, when we go in, we went in very hard, and we didn't tell anybody about it because we wanted surprise. Who knows better about surprise than Japan? Okay? Why didn't you tell me about Pearl Harbor? Okay?
Unbelievable. That's Donald Trump with the Japanese prime minister sitting right there with an interesting smile on her face as he's saying all that. Anyway, glad to get your calls at 866-HEY-LARS. That's 866-439-5277. Send your emails to talk@LarsLarsen.com. Let's go to Jack in Kennewick listening on KONA. Hey, Jack, what's on your mind today?
Well, hey, I'm concerned about this millionaire tax.
Yeah.
I know anybody, you know, married people filing separate don't get taxed. But I'm hearing that corporations, partnerships, if they make if their company makes $1 million, are they subjected to that tax, Lars?
I think it comes down to whether or not they're individuals who make $1 million. And part of the problem there, Jack, you've already hinted at it. If you have two people who are not married, but they're, say, boyfriend and girlfriend, but they've been living together forever, and each one makes $750,000, that means their joint household income would be $1.5 million, and they'd be subject to the tax. But if they're not married, they're not subject to the tax. And if you're running a small company, depending on what kind of company it is and how much money you take as income from that company, is going to make all the difference in the world about whether or not you're subject to the taxes. So, I mean, I don't know enough about tax law, Jack, to know, but most companies, smaller companies, are what they call pass-throughs. So if you've got pass-through income from, say, running a bunch of small convenience stores or fast food joints or whatever, if your income's above $1 million, you're paying. If your income's below $1 million, you're completely exempt. Does that answer your question?
Yeah. I read a Forbes article that said that we were going to be subjected to it here in the state of Washington. But as you know, news is news, and they'll say anything to capture a fear, which fear pays
well, but here's the thing, Jack, don't worry so much about the millionaire tax. Worry about it when they say, we're not getting enough money. We have to drop it from $1 million down to $750,000 or $500,000 or $750,000 or a couple of $100,000. Because I expect the Democrats will do that fairly soon.
Yeah, I see that coming. Being self-employed, we are just getting the living daylights taxed out of us by the state of Washington right now. And it seems like every time Donald Trump gives us a tax break, the state of Washington legislates that right out of our pockets.
And by the way, if you're self-employed, Jack, one of the things you ought to be worried about, and we've talked about this involving, say, a company that builds houses. Well, there's a lot of money that flows through that company, but the guy or gal running it doesn't make that money. It's a huge amount of money that, say, for pouring the foundation, for framing the walls, for doing all that. But that isn't money that ends up landing in his pocket. It just passes through, but it could put you into that millionaire category fairly easily. Jack, thanks very much. Let's go to Mickey. Hey, Mickey, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Hi, Lars. Thanks for talking to me.
What's up?
Mr. Butt.
Daniel Butt's the cop killer.
Yes, sir. And I'm so sorry for the officer's family. I'm so sorry for everybody involved that has victims in this. I was a formerly incarcerated citizen myself for 5+ years ago. I'm here to tell you that his life is going to be great inside. If he ever gets general population, they are going to be buying him ho-hos and zoom-zooms and wham-whams. He'll live the life of luxury because he killed an officer. That is so unfortunate that it turns out that way. Any officers on unit? A few of them will know. They'll know what happened. But for the most part, they don't look. They don't care. They don't want to know what guys are in for because they have, maybe 80 guys on a unit that they have to. Sure, they know who's going to be the troublemakers and who's going to be dangerous.
Yeah.
But as far as the regular general population guys, no, they don't care.
and he will end up being the sweetheart of the unit to the officer.
Because he's a cop killer.
Yeah, yeah. He's not somebody else. He's not, he doesn't have a bad crime. He's got a good crime, so therefore he's going to be a super dude. And
so why are they holding him back from general population because of this?
That I don't know. If he was in Oregon, you never know why they do what they do. You know, there's a board of people who his file comes in.
Yeah, the PSRB. He is in Oregon, though. That's the thing.
He is in Oregon. Okay, so same. He's going to, his file will come in front of a review board, and they will determine his probably his lawyer, maybe, is keeping him in the psychiatric side of it. But pretty much all of the prisons, especially Snake River, have units that are just for the psych cases, the, mentally ill, the neck gap, and whatnot.
And right now, he's being kept out of the general population. Mickey, thanks a lot. I appreciate the call. By the way, this segment of the show is brought to you by NickShivers.com. Check out our X poll question. You'll find that at Lars Larson Show and brought to you by Ultimate Truck Service.
The Lars Larson Show.
Larson Show.
President Trump is one badass president. He secured the border at a level we've never seen before.
Honestly provocative talk with Lars Larson.
For our country and for our children, the best is yet to come.
Broadcasting across the Pacific Northwest and covering Oregon, Washington, and Idaho on the Radio Northwest Network.
Lars.
And now.
He is an existential threat to democracy.
Here's your host.
Quiet, please.
Lars Larson.
Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. It's a pleasure to be with you. And I don't know about you, but if you live in the Pacific Northwest, it is not unusual for us to get hit with storms. All kinds of different storms. Sometimes it's snowstorms. Sometimes it's storms with huge amounts of rain. You know, the so-called atmospheric rivers. And when that happens and the rivers rise and people have to be evacuated, you want to get honest information. I mean, we want to know when our fellow citizens have had to be evacuated, and we don't want the situation to be either overstated or understated. So when I got this email from Philip Rissell, who's one of the co-owners of the River's Edge RV Resort and Camping in Clatskanie, I thought this is exactly what I was thinking about. They said, well, they had to evacuate 200 residents. Mr. Rissell, welcome to the program. I take it that you didn't really appreciate the fact that a lot of the media got the story entirely wrong.
Hi, Lars. Thanks for having me on the show. Yeah, that's true. We did have a small event out there at River's Edge, and the Corey Patron with the Columbia County had issued a statement on Saturday morning, just several hours after the water had receded, and said that 200 residents were evacuated, which prompted an overwhelming response to emergency services that really wasn't necessary. And in the end, they only volunteered 20 people to leave the RV resort that evening, and most of them returned the next day. So the media got wind of this. Of course, when you hear that 200 residents have been evacuated, that's a big number, and that's going to get the response. But in this situation, the response wasn't necessary.
Well, I wondered about it at the time, Philip, because I saw pictures, and when we're not talking about a mobile home park, we're talking about an RV park where people bring in their fifth wheels and other trailers and things like that. And I would think when you know that high water is coming, if you need to move your fifth wheel or move your trailer, you do that, but you move it, and then when the water goes down, you go right back. Doesn't sound like as big a problem as some of the people in the mainstream media made it out to be.
That's correct. You know, at the time we had 97 RVs at the park. We had 200 registered guests, and 20 guests left voluntarily, and we had 19 RVs left on Saturday, and 9 have returned to today, but the event was very unusual. We've had a lot of rain in the past years, and we've been monitoring that. But in this particular event, there was a large log jam that was reported in the river that was below us, and we were watching some of the lower lying areas, and we didn't see any issues at all. We were a couple feet from our riverbanks, which is pretty typical. Back in December 24, we had an 8-inch event, and we didn't see the high waters that we were seeing now. So we weren't really on alert, but we do watch and monitor those riverbanks throughout any kind of king tide or heavy rains. And our camp host noticed that the water was coming over around 12:30 in the morning, and he issued a text to all of our registered guests and told them about the high water event. Shortly after that, some of the 911 calls started coming in because the water that we were taking in the park was the river, and it was substantial. And so it covered our roads and were fairly flat. So you would look around and see a pretty large area of water, but now 60 of our 100 spots had no water at all. And the water would just travel underneath the trailers. None of the trailers were moved. Only 11 trailers were reported as damaged. And we only had 12 vehicles, and five of those were from driving from dry ground into the water.
Yeah, and in fact, that was one of the things I wondered about. When you're running an operation like yours and you know you got water coming, you probably know the footprint that's likely to stay above the water and the footprint that's likely to be in the water. Do you allow people to move from wet to dry?
Absolutely. But a lot of the spaces are on dry ground, and we're very unique because the higher ground is actually closer to the river. So it kind of does confuse people a little bit, but we always allow people to move around. But this particular event, with us monitoring and based on the previous models, we haven't seen any issues. Now, we did have some issues with ODOT had dug a trench to create a flood wetland years ago. And when that was discovered from us about 5 years ago, we worked with ODOT to fill that trench. And just about several years ago, they filled it, because that it was the same elevation as our park. So our water, ODOT was introducing water into our park. So there are some, you know, history events that people have been talking about. But since then, we've had over 8 inches of rain with king tides and have not seen this level of water. And that log jam that they saw really made an impact when the river came around a 180-degree turn. It just could not push that water through that jam, and it came over the banks.
I'm talking to Philip Russell, who's co-owner of the River's Edge RV Resort and Camping. I got to ask you this. ODOT thought it would be helpful to dig a trench and create a swamp?
That was their intentions. It's a man-made wetland that they tried to create, and it failed years ago. And when we discovered it, by a notice from one of the town folk, we went over and looked at it, and we negotiated with ODOT, and they actually sandbagged it the first year, and then we worked pretty hard to get them to permanently abandon that trench.
This sounds like one of the least helpful things you could ever do in a region like the Pacific Northwest, where you get rain from time to time and log jams occasionally and water backing up. And then ODOT says, hey, we'll help out. We'll create an artificial swamp right next to your property. But at least they agreed to let you fill the thing in. So they admit that it was a failed effort, right?
They did, and they actually filled it in. So, but that we really felt confident after that, knowing we know our elevations really well. I mean, this park is in the city limits. It was all designed by engineers. The modeling was all to the latest standards. It was built to the highest standards. We have all city infrastructure. We have city sewer, water. We have fiber internet. We have over $500,000 storm system. We treat all of our stormwater on site, and we have extra provisions if we exceed the amount of rain. And so we have no discharge to the Clackamas or to the Clatskanie River, and we filter all of our water. We filter it through filter cartridges. We have storm control manholes. It's a very extensive system because we have to control 12 acres of rain that's landing on this resort.
Wow. Hey, Philip, I appreciate you coming on, because when I hear about somebody who's been the subject of false media reports saying we had 200 people evacuated and all that, we'd like to see it get straightened out. I appreciate you taking the time today.
Yeah, Lars, you know, financially, we've had $40,000 in future cancellations, and this is a tourist industry. We're providing over $50,000 to $100,000 of tourism dollars to a small community in Clatskanie that really needs that money. And we're giving out almost $2,000 a day in current refunds, which is almost $21,000. We've been denied public or private funding for our recent rezoned acreage. Investors have backed out. We've had two purchase offers retracted. Our food cart corner expansion has been suspended. Our outdoor pavilions have been suspended. Our laundry facilities have been suspended. Financial devastation with no future recover because of Corey Padron's statement. And we've got two class action suits brewing, eight individual lawsuits have already contacted.
You know what? I wish you luck with Columbia County because I'd love to see you get some compensation. It doesn't make any sense to do that to a person and then say, we're going to damage you, but it's not really our problem. That's Philip Russell. You've got the Lars Larson Show. Hey, I've got a question.
Take a peek inside Lars's studio. Follow him on Instagram at The Lars Larson Show.
Welcome back to
now,
The Lars Larson
Show. More with Lars Larson.
It is a pleasure to be with you, and not as much of a pleasure to talk about Joe Kent and Joe Kent's untimely departure, although at this point it looks timely, to leave the Trump administration, but on his way out the door, condemn what the president has done in going up against Iran, even though it seemed to match exactly what Joe Kent had said in recent years. Joe Kent did serve for Donald Trump for a time, short time, as the head of the Counterterrorism Center, and now he's left, but on his way out the door, essentially said that Trump is a stooge for Israel and that the attack on Iran was not justified. Now, Randy is a naysayer, and I'm really curious what Randy's going to say about this. Before he does, if you want to join the conversation, you're certainly welcome at 866-HEY-LARS. That's 866-439-5277. Send your emails to talk@LarsLarson.com, and you can vote in our X poll at Lars Larson Show and at LarsLarson.com. Randy, if you're a naysayer, what do you and I disagree about today?
Yeah, Lars, thanks for taking my call. I appreciate your show. I'm a real big fan. Very seldom a naysayer. But
thank you.
Here's my questions for you. How do we know exactly the truth of what's going on with Joe Kent? Like they said that the FBI is doing investigations on him for leaking information. How do you find out that to be the
You probably aren't going to find out much, Randy. Let me answer the question on the FBI. A reporter, I found out decades ago that if you call the FBI and say, are you investigating so-and-so? They're going to tell you, we don't comment on investigations. They won't tell you that they are. They won't tell you they aren't. But the word is that they are investigating. Now, if you say, well, how do you know it's even likely that it's true? Well, if the reports are that Joe Kent was not part of the classified briefings for the last several months because he's head of the Counterterrorism Center and he was apparently included in the White House President of the United States briefings for a time and then he was excluded, why would he be excluded from them? Now, I would be glad to ask Joe Kent about that myself if Joe Kent was willing to come on the show. He's been on this show dozens of times when he ran for Congress. Twice, not once, but twice. And I can ask Joe Kent, were you part of the POTUS intelligence briefings at one point? And were you excluded from that at one point? He could tell me one way or the other. I can't ask the questions if he won't come on, though. So I don't know. And then you have to ask, why was he leaving the White House? Or why was he leaving the Counterterrorism Center? Was he leaving because he said, I can't stomach this war because it's not justified and Iran is not a threat? I'd like to ask him about that as well. Or was he leaving because he was about to come under investigation by the FBI for leaking classified information? The difference would be significant, wouldn't it?
Yes, and I'm disappointed. I voted for Joe Kent, and I'm disappointed he's not coming back on your show. My thoughts on that, Lars, maybe it's a possibility if he is under investigation that he can't talk about things.
Well, he's certainly been on a couple of other shows in the last 24 hours, both Tucker Carlson and apparently Candace Owens. So if he can talk there, he can certainly talk to me. Let's go to Dan, who's another naysayer. Hey, Dan, welcome to the program. What do you and I disagree about?
I voted for Trump all three times, but this war is crazy. What did they ask for yesterday? $22 billion? Who's paying for this?
Well, the taxpayers are going to pay for it, Dan. That's always the case.
Well, why should we?
Well, where else are you going to send the bill?
Listen, Israelis have their own nukes. Let them drop a couple and then it's done. Why does it have to be our money?
Well, I guess I'd ask you this, Dan. Here's the key question that was raised by Joe Kent's departure. He says Iran is not a threat, an imminent threat to the United States. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
You do. You don't think that Iran was a threat at all to the United States?
Listen, we've got nukes. One would take care of the whole country.
And by the way, Dan, if you're going to suggest using nukes, nukes have been used twice by the United States on planet Earth in about the last 75 years, and they haven't been used since. Do you know what would happen if Iran had nukes and we nuke Iran? What do you suppose is going to be the response from Iran's allies?
Listen, your credit card or the nuke, and the nuke takes care of it instantly.
Okay, and then that's over. You say we could just nuke Iran, and would you nuke civilians or only military targets?
Hey, it's their government. You nuke them all.
So nuke the entire country, all the people, even though it's the mad mullahs who are doing this, and most of the people in that country want their current crazy government gone. I got to tell you, Dan, your naysaying is a little bit on the loony side, because you can't just go around nuking every problem that you run into. And the thing we were trying to avoid with Iran is they were this close to getting a nuclear weapon. How do I know that? Because, well, Barack Hussein Obama pursued the JCPOA arrangement, which was supposed to slow them down in getting nuclear weapons. And then you've got, when Trump came in, he got rid of the JCPOA. But then once Biden came in, President Otto Penn, he went right back to trying to get a new nuclear deal with Iran. Why were they pursuing a nuclear deal with Iran? Because they all believed that Iran was on a path to getting a nuclear weapon. What they didn't agree on was how fast are they going to get there. Obama would have had you believe that Iran was a decade away from getting a nuke, except that they signed the JCPOA about a decade ago. So in other words, they were reaching the point where they were very, very close to getting nuclear weapons. And yet, the guy who heads up our counterterrorism organization, and that was until this week, Joe Kent, says they were not an imminent threat to the United States. Donald Trump decided otherwise, and apparently the president had access to all the classified intelligence that apparently Joe Kent was no longer accessing, because Joe Kent is now under investigation by the FBI for allegedly leaking classified info. I know, it's very complicated. Back in a moment, you're listening to The Lars Larson Show and the Radio Northwest Network.
The Lars Larson Show. Show today? Find Lars's thoughts and get the podcast right now at LarsLarson.com. Now, here's Lars Larson.
Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. It's a pleasure to be with you on a Thursday. Glad to have you with me on the Radio Northwest Network, serving the Pacific Northwest states of Oregon, Washington, and Idaho. This segment of the show is brought to you by Oregon Medical Centers, the regenerative medical specialists. You'll find them at Oregon Medical Centers. And our ex-poll question today is, Joe Kent right? that Iran is and was not a threat that justified military action. Joe Kent, two times candidate for the United States Congress, lost both times in Washington's 3rd Congressional District, but then went on to serve President Trump as the head of the Counterterrorism Center and just resigned this week ahead of an investigation into whether or not he was leaking classified information. But on the way out the door, he said the Iran war is not justified and that what Donald Trump is doing is not justified, and it's being driven by Israel and the mainstream media. Now, let me go first to Chris, who's a naysayer. Hey, Chris, welcome to the program. What's on your mind? Hey, Chris.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, you're a naysayer. What do you and I disagree about?
Well, I think that you're looking at this assisted suicide deal just kind of the wrong way, or different, wrong point of view, in my mind. Especially out of the Portland area, we're all about letting people do whatever they want. You know, if they want to do drugs and destroy their lives, you know what? We're going to be right there handing them a needle and helping them.
That has been the case, yes.
If a person is 55 years old, say they haven't done a good job of planning for retirement and on down the line, and they decide, you know what? What if there was a way that you put a price on organs? A heart, $250,000, lungs, $100,000, whatever, and they just decided, you know what? I'm going to try to do something for my wife, and I'm going to donate my heart. That'll give her enough money to retire on, and away we go.
Well, number one, that would be illegal. It's currently illegal under federal law to traffic in human organs, and I think it ought to stay that way. But
I understand. Yeah, I understand that. I get that. But I'm just saying, if they were going to allow, you know, assisted suicide and be able to do that, then there might as well be something in it for the person, and there might as well be something in it for other people that, you know, to donate. And I just think that, you know, we're so willing, and I see it mostly in Oregon, but we're so willing to help these people destroy their own lives on the streets of Portland.
Yep.
You know, and then you've got somebody that maybe has a terminal illness or something like that and wants a way out. You know, we'll help that person spend the next 30 years destroying their lives, but we won't help somebody that wants a way out.
Unbelievable. Chris, thank you very much. I'm not sure we agree that much, disagree that much anyway. Let's go to Jim. Hey, Jim, what's on your mind?
Well, I had an idea for the gentleman who called in that where the flooding had been misreported.
Yep, and where they said that 200 people had been evacuated from his RV park, and it was actually 20 people, and now because the county coming out and mischaracterizing it, he's now lost tens of thousands of dollars of business.
Well, my idea, Lars, is that why doesn't he, I know this isn't Minnesota or California, but why doesn't he re-register his business as a daycare center or a hospice? I hate to make light of the guy's situation, but I had to say that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's all right. You get Tina Kotek. Hey, Governor Kotek, we're running a daycare center down here. You're not going to actually see the kids, but be sure you send the checks to the mailbox where we put on the address on the form. Yeah, that kind of thing. Jim, thanks for the call. Let's go to Michael. Hey, Michael, welcome to the program. What's on your mind? Hey, Michael.
Hello. Yeah, I was wondering what you think about the Save America Act.
I think it's a great idea. Voter ID, you have to be a citizen. Your ballot has to be in by election day. Nothing wrong with that. What do you think of it?
Well, I think that Senator Merkley,
who's an idiot,
said that we had to send our ID.
Senator Merkley could not think his way out of a wet paper bag. Senator Merkley does not know what he's talking about. Michael, the SAVE Act would require three things. Number one, you have to prove you're an American citizen to be able to vote. That's already in the law, but this would enforce it. Number two, you have to have picture ID that proves who you are. Number three, your ballot has to be in by election day. Senator Merkley is just angry because the Democrats are planning to use illegal votes counted this coming November to win. And without those illegal votes, they're going to lose.
Well, the thing that I'm worried about is sending in your ID, your photograph ID.
All you've got to do is go down to the elections office, register to vote, show the picture ID, show proof that you are an American citizen. You're now on the registration rolls. It's not that hard. Let's go to Cyrus. Hey, Cyrus, welcome to the Lars Larson Show. What's on your mind?
Hello, Mr. Larson. Thank you for taking my call. And sure. One thing quick, I'm going to make a comment. Joe Kent is dead wrong. He's not Iranian to see how Iranians are suffering under the terrorist regime of Iran. And unfortunately, some of the Democrats or most, they support terrorism. That's really, I talked to one of my neighbors and shared my opinion with her, with him. He said they're corrupt. I mean, fascists, they support fascism, terrorism. And that's absolutely correct. I mean, if we get a chance to tell the Iranian terrorist regime, if they can allow the leftover terrorist to people to vote to see if they want that regime or not, I mean, they were not going to accept that. And...
Cyrus, can I ask you a couple of quick questions, Cyrus?
There are sleeper terrorist cells in Portland. They are very unhappy to overthrow Iranian terrorist regime. I talked to the FBI office, and hopefully they are going to take care of that. And basically, I want to be free to go back to Iran. And also,
let's hope that you are. And Cyrus, I'm going to have to break in and interrupt you because we're up against the end of the hour. But let me say this. Joe Kent says the reason that Iran does not present an imminent threat to the United States is because Iran says it doesn't present an imminent threat. So in other words, the folks you think might be threatening you are saying, don't worry about it. We're not a threat to you. Should you believe them? I don't think so. You've got the Lars Larson Show.
The Lars Larson Show.